Heavy Seed Blind Spring Sale is on now, where you can get 40% off roller and Roman blinds, 30% off outdoor blinds, plus heaps more. You know what else is on now? This Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast.
$1 million.
I'm sorry, what? Both of you are just making creepy, grumbling noises.
Creepy?
Or are we being as sexy as we possibly could be?
Yep.
Was, really?
Yeah. Pete's some science for
you. Did you actually want an answer? Or
I got science for you.
Okay.
I do have science. According to the University of California.
University of Cal.
Thank you. Actually, that's great. Keep that going.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you two are a great duo act.
Excuse me. Researchers found... those who articulate less clearly...
Articulate.
...are associated with being more masculine.
Yeah.
And therefore, sexier.
What?
A mumbler.
Yeah. So
nobody wants to be around a mumbler.
Are you sure?
Are you?
It is so annoying.
Really?
Yeah. Super frustrating.
Well, the example that they use is Marlon Brando.
We've known each other many years, but this is the first time he ever came to the council for help. I can't remember the last time that he invited me to your house for a cup of coffee.
That audio was so much better because it was recorded on someone's phone.
I think if I came to work and started talking like that, you would all think I was drunk. Like, that doesn't sound sexy. It just sounds like he hasn't got it together.
Give it a shot.
No.
Give us some sort of mumbling.
Oh, hello.
It's crap. Well, nobody wants to hear. What a ridiculous study.
Yeah, Michael Caine, the wonderful Michael Caine, when he was first in Hollywood as a 20-something-year-old, he'd done a film called Alfie. Hollywood had noticed him, invited him over, goes to a hotel, sitting in like one of these plush Hollywood hotels, can't believe he's like, I'm making it. John Wayne, the biggest film star of the time, walks past him. John Wayne knows who he is, says, Michael Caine, you're amazing. I've got one piece of advice for you. Talk low, talk slow. That's what he told him to do. And you look at all Russell Crowe, Hemsworth, they all follow that model. But if I do that more, you're going to find me much more interesting.
Lazy.
Lazy?
Lazy.
Really? Lazy?
No, not interested.
I'm going to test it today. Not today. Throughout the day. I'm just going to talk to people.
And just see if it works out.
Just see if it
see
works
if we
out.
Start looking at you with a glint in our eye.
Hey, jeans and joggers out there in the production area. There you go.
Maybe it sounds partially arrogant to me.
Maybe. Can you do it during the Alpha Bucks question read?
Great idea.
Just mumble those and see how that goes down.
There's a million bucks on the line.
Yeah.
Sorry, you did buzz through. I didn't want to cut you off there, are you?
I couldn't understand a word you were saying.
That's right.
They didn't even know you were talking to them.
That's how sexy it is.
Sport can be good on a Saturday. It can be great on a Sunday. And with Clean Heat, that's bloody awesome on a Barramundi.
You are thinking about kicks, marks, tackles and goals. What you're not thinking about is gas, but when you do think Clean Heat. Barra, good morning to you, mate.
I can see how pumped you are about the Lachie Neal news. I know you hated him when he left, but suddenly he's not so bad, is he?
Look, hang on, wait a minute.
Harry Styles, he looks I love the guy.
He does look a bit like Harry Styles.
Hang on, we've got to negotiate hard at the trading table, right? So we can't go out there all guns blazing going, we want him back. So, you know, let's talk real. His shoulder's a bit busted. You know, he's 28, he's getting on a little bit, so...
No, this is all right. Yeah. It's just Pete trying to get him cheap.
Exactly.
That's good bargaining.
It's a brand
very
low
good
medalist.
Bargaining. Yeah.
Look, before we get to that, if you could pump the brakes, I'll just smash through the grand final stuff because there's a lot happening. Well, since we last talked, we've secured the AFL grand final, as predicted, which is pretty good. There are two other games in Perth too. Last Friday was Geelong beat the Giants in front of 40-odd thousand. Optus Stadium struggled to get staff in because there's no backpackers and all the rest. And so there were a few dramas with getting food and drinks up to 40 minutes. My friend, the media manager there, Claire, wonderful person, she actually got behind the bar and started serving drinks.
Good on you,
Claire. Wow.
Is it that much of a shortage? What is everybody in Perth doing? Has everyone got a job? No one needs work now?
In that field... really struggling. But yesterday at the Bledisloe, they looked like they got back on their game. And then I believe this Friday night, Melbourne versus, I know some people hate that word, traditionalists, my kids use it, versus Melbourne versus Geelong for a place in a grand final.
The first ever game of football was Melbourne-Geelong.
There you go.
Wow.
So that game will almost be sold out. That'll be 55,000. Thank you, Stats. And then there's a weekend off, and grand final week will start on the Sunday night with the Brownlow Medal in Perth. 800 people. Hopefully there's a media table, so I'll be there as well. And the Lord Mayor will be hosting that. Then the Lord Mayor is very excited about having a grand final parade on the Friday in the city.
Yes.
At this stage, the AFL is going, I don't know, you know, it's a bit short notice. It's going to cost a lot of money. No, let's have it. You know, cars, all that sort of stuff. Let's do it. So we'll see where that
cars
lands.
Cars and that sort of stuff.
We don't want it half-assed though, do
no.
we?
No.
I mean, if you're going to do it, well,
what are we gonna...
it's just so embarrassing.
Monday morning, have we got more to talk about if it's half-assed or if it's really good?
Well,
that
is
I would put it to
that
you.
Is a fair point.
It's better if it's half-assed.
I think the AFL might have trumped him a bit because they said to the Lord Mayor, oh, we'll just have it outside Optus Stadium on the Friday, get a heap of people there and present the teams. How about that? And suddenly the mayor works out, hang on, that's not in my jurisdiction. So I'm not happy about that.
Well,
so
bring out the Christmas floats. Just bring them out and rewrap them.
Exactly. Something like that. So there'll be something going on.
Now, I saw you tweeting prolifically over the weekend about finals tickets, right? And that's all I've been hearing talking to people over the weekend is how much is it going to cost me to get to the grand final?
It'll be north of $200 a ticket,
right?
Minimum, and it'll be a ballot. I'd say the two teams that are in it get about 20,000 tickets each, so they'll be the one. So if you know a Melbourne member, get onto them because they can't come over. If you know a Port Adelaide member, forget about it because they'll be coming over. You know what I mean? They'll be over here because that's who I think it'll be. I think it'll be Melbourne and Port Adelaide. Just finishing off the grand final build up. They're also going to do a kick across the Swan at Elizabeth Quay, a long kicking competition.
Oh, yeah.
So they'll get a heap of players.
So they're all
going to
go
there.
In the drink?
Yeah, that's, yeah. And if
excellent.
You can, and
players
see if you,
or celebrities?
Players, actual players that are in town, yeah. So they'll see if they can actually kick across the Swan. So that'll be good. So Lachie Neal, here we go.
All right, let's do this. Come on.
Back to the Dockers.
How's it going to get done?
He's got a 2-year contract to run at Brisbane. His wife, Jules, is pregnant. They're having a little baby girl. They're so happy. They've been trying for ages. She's from Perth. She had a hair salon in Mosman Park. It was always strange that they wanted to leave in terms of why she sort of had to give up her business. And now they're having a bub and they're going, you know what? We want to raise our bub in Perth. We want to come back. I know I've got 2 years to run. Please, 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 can I come back? But I heard the Brisbane club talking today and they did not know about this.
Oh, as if they didn't.
Well, apparently they said this is news to us. That was their quote. This is news to us.
Okay.
They've just been kicked out of the competition, obviously. They got beaten on the weekend. So it's like a double whammy. It's a real gut punch.
It's a risky move, isn't it? Because in the English football, you saw Harry Kane doing that, wanting to leave Tottenham Hotspur and hoping he'd get a big deal. And he didn't. He was still under contract.
It's
and now
very
he's
hard.
Back playing there. And it must put some ill feeling between you and your teammates.
Oh, it's going to be tricky. And you're right, Pete, they'll have to give up pick six. They'll get Chera will go, they'll get pick six, and they'll have to give that at least to Brisbane. But I'll just tell you a couple of things that Ross Lyon said to Lachie Neal. This could have contributed to the reason he left.
Mm.
How about you lose that fat A-R-S-E?
Oh.
Right. And who do you think you are, Robert Harvey? And apparently made him do two laps because they didn't think he was that good. So he probably had a reason to leave at that stage.
I need that kind of feedback.
It did inspire me.
I don't know. Yeah. Apparently the gymnasts cop worse than that, so that doesn't sound like he's tough enough, really.
What would be the equivalent on radio?
Oh, in here. Oh,
it's doing a great job and then get sacked the next day. Now, my friends, I took a drive down to Denmark on the weekend and caught up with our old mate, Captain Paul.
Oh, beautiful.
And he's fantastic, of course, and sends his love. And he misses being a D-grade celebrity. There's no doubt about it. But he's very good. So I was due to stay with some friends just for the one night. And I knew that they weren't going to be home, but it was like, go and, you know, make yourself at home, find the key, all good.
It's kind of not staying with friends at all, really,
no,
is it?
No, it isn't. No. So I caught up with Paulie and we had a bit of fish and chips together, and I got back to the place that I was staying at, and I knew they weren't going to be home, and I also know they've got 5 dogs.
Oh.
Now, I have dog sat these dogs, so I do know them, but it's been a while. And I walk in and I'm thinking of stinky old Bella, Captain Paul's dog, Bella.
Yeah.
And they kind of all jump at me and I'm going, hello, oh, hello, everyone. You know, trying to do my
own. Hoping you won't be savage.
Yes, hoping I won't be savage because they're all big dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see they're kind of going, yeah, we know you, but something's not right.
Mm.
And so I'm walking around the house trying to sort of, you know, it's not my house. I have stayed there before, but I don't know where everything is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm looking for light switches and I look guilty.
Yeah, right.
And the dogs aren't leaving me alone. They're like literally getting in the way of my legs, right? So I'm it's okay. Hey, I know you. You know me. And then I'm looking for a towel. There's no, you know. And they've got this, and this is what I meant before. I've noticed it a couple of times in Bali and indeed Thailand. You'd be out, and what was just a normal little alleyway to your hotel room during the day,
mm-hmm.
you're coming back at 2-3 in the morning, and it's quite dark and dingy. And there's always kind of a group of dogs that are just sort of hanging out,
straying around,
and they see you, and they're. And it's really confronting, right? And these dogs were doing that a bit to me, like really kind of a little menacing.
Oh.
So anyway, everyone got home. It was fine. I got through it. And I got up at like 4 in the morning to come home early.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what it's like when you get up to do this job, that every sound that you make at 4 in the morning sounds like this. Right?
It's just one bowl on the kitchen bench. It's like bang!
A butter knife gently placed on a ceramic plate. Sounds like that. Mm-hmm. Everything sounds like that.
Yep.
So I'm trying to make, they said, make yourself breakfast. We'd exchange notes. You know, like, I'll get up in the morning. Thanks for having me. Love you. I'm trying to find stuff. Every drawer, every cupboard I open and close sounds like that. The dogs are still kind of going at me. I'm not joking. One in particular, Ginger. I love you, but that was scaring me. And so I'm trying to get out of there. And I had to make bloody stove-cooked coffee. They didn't even have instant. Like, it was really testing my, you know, nerves. Finally, I just grabbed the coffee and thought, you know what? I had my Forever cup. I'm going out to the car. And I'm just going to sit and wait for the sun to come up because I don't want it to get out of the house, right? So I get into the car. Oh, the door. Okay, close the door. I've put salt in my coffee.
Oh no.
They have salt in a kind of a ceramic-y, sugar bowl-y looking thing, clearly, and I've gone full salt. Anyway, went to the bakery. It would have been 5 o'clock in the morning, maybe 10 past 5.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Guess who was there?
Who?
Captain Paul. I'm not joking.
There's only two people in the town.
Buying a coffee and a slice.
She's a stand-up comic, actor, TV and radio presenter who's been on everything from The Project to Husey, We Have a Problem. And tonight we'll see her back on Have You Been Paying Attention on Channel 10. Please welcome...
Scott!
Denise Scott.
Ah, good morning to you, Denise. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And what an introduction. I'm fanning myself.
Well deserved, because you are a living legend and it's wonderful to speak to you this morning. But we've got to broach something here with you right now. Excuse us, listeners, for breaking the fourth wall, but in the studio we have a thing called a phone box. And in the phone box, our lovely producers out there, Jeans and Joggers, can write in who we're about to speak to and they can write some notes. Now, if those notes have been written and haven't been deleted, it means when we call that person the next time and speak to them, those notes will appear in the screen.
They
remain
there, don't they?
So,
yeah.
Denise, these notes have appeared in the screen
and
without our
producer. We don't know who's written them.
We don't know who's written them, but they're here from the last time you were spoken to.
And can I just say I'm feeling frightened?
Okay. You should. Because the note is, I kid you not.
This could be your Nadia Bartel moment.
It says, Denise Scott, have you been paying attention, Channel 10 tonight, 8:40? And then it says...
Homemade bong.
And that's all we've got. That's all we're working with.
Wow.
Do you ever remember getting on the show or any of our networks talking about a homemade bong?
Well, no, this is fresh. This is fresh news.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
Because living in Melbourne, living through lockdown, not a lot happened.
Yes.
That's all I'm going to say.
Uh-huh.
And we put our bin, the story is so exciting, brace yourself.
Okay.
We put our rubbish bin on the nature strip. That's the beginning of the story.
Wow.
It gets better.
Okay.
John, after the rubbish has been collected, John, my partner, brings in the bin, opens it, and says, look what I found. And someone has left a tomato, you know, plastic tomato sauce bottle.
Oh, yeah.
With the hole in the side with a little bit of hosing, a little bit of hose attached. So someone has made their own bong.
Yeah.
And how Australian for it to be in a tomato sauce bottle.
I know that, and that's commitment because that's tough plastic. Go the Orchie orange that's, juice, you're normal.
And also that they've had to throw it in after your bin's been collected.
Yes.
Like they've just done a run. They've Isn't that such a stoner? And they've had to stash it.
Wrong day.
So, this is the fascinating thing. It was quite clean. It appeared to have never been used.
Right.
And I thought, has someone walked past our place and just thought, I've got to get a grip because they've seen me out the front without my bra on or something. What happened in lockdown, how far we've gone. And so I've got to get a grip, and or perhaps they thought I needed something to help chill me out. I don't know. But that's the bong story.
Wow.
Well, there you go.
At least there's a story behind it.
Absolutely.
Because otherwise we took a risk there going live radio and throwing that at you, didn't we?
Kids, don't do drugs.
How are you, Denise? Are you good?
Yes, am I not meant to have talked? And now, hang on.
No, we asked you, darling. I'm just saying, I'm glad you had a story, because otherwise it was risky, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And now,
what a story.
Denise, I tell you what, you have been, we were just talking about how Beyonce's been around in our lives for a very long time. Mm. So have you, darling. Have you been paying attention? What do they want from you? Now they want you to pay attention. Shouldn't you be able to just grace our screens without having to pay any attention at all these days?
Well, this is the thing. I don't pay attention, and I'm there just to appear pretty demented. And so I have lost my grip, because what I was saying before about the bra, you know, this is true. I just take – being in lockdown loosens you up, and I just take my bra off anywhere and everywhere. And I did. I lost my bra, and I found it in the front yard under the rose bush where I'd been pruning the day before.
Okay. The tomato sauce bong is starting to make more sense now, Denise. I've got to be honest with you.
Oh, God, I can relate. I relate to you. I throw my bra everywhere. I've had guests come over and it's just hanging on the lounge room chair or like, because I've just, you know, I just don't care to throw it anywhere.
Yes, well, me too. And you know, things loosening up, I went to the local bakery. I know, my stories could not be more riveting. And I went to the local bakery and a chap serving me and I said, "Hi, handsome. What the hell is that about?" It just came out. Like, I don't know where it came from. I've never said that to a gentleman in my life.
Smell of pies will do that.
Yep. Mm. Well, Denise, lovely to chat to you this morning. And we'll look forward to seeing you tonight, 8:40, only on 10 and 10 Play On Demand with Have You Been Paying Attention. We'll catch up soon.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Denise.
Glad you got some saucy note.
Oh, I like that. I have gotten away with something for far too long, and it's time to put a stop to it.
Okay.
You know that I hate cooking.
Oh.
You know that I don't cook.
Yes.
And it's fine. I've gotten away with it for an exceptionally long time
because
you can. You just make up for it in other ways. And I cannot cook because I don't enjoy it, honestly. Like what it comes down to is I see it as a chore. Some people hate doing the dishes. Some people hate cleaning the house. I hate cooking.
Mm-hmm.
But I've reached a point now where I'm like, it's getting kind of embarrassing because like even the other night, my partner came home. I wasn't expecting him home yet. And he walked in while I was eating dinner.
Right.
And he walked in, took one look at my plate and went, "Oh, I see you've created yourself another nutritious meal this evening," because it was toast with avocado and cheese, but toast.
Yeah.
And that is generally, my partner James cooks every meal for me, really. And if he's not there, that's all I eat is a toasted sandwich.
Yeah.
Or maybe sometimes eggs on toast.
Yeah, but toast plays a big part in it, doesn't it?
Yeah, the bread plays a significant role. Yeah. I feel like whatever it is, you could wrap it up. Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, yes, without even knowing.
Gee whiz, you get one of these, mate. Good for you.
Thank you. Thanks. And look, I've just decided I host a lot of dinner parties, but what I do is I do potluck dinners where I say, "You're all welcome at my house, but everyone has to bring a dish."
Yes.
and I've decided to make some changes.
Oh, go, girl.
Wow.
I'm going to cook dinner for the listeners.
What?
Yep. I'm going to do that. I'm going to host a dinner party.
Oh, darling. No.
I am. Yep. I'm going to do it. Enough is enough. And I am going to. I just decided over the weekend to make this happen. So I'm going to host a dinner party, and I'm asking our beautiful Mix listeners to give me some foolproof recipes.
Okay.
An entree, main, or dessert. And I'm going to have some listeners come along, and I'm going to cook you a 3-course meal.
Wow. So
you are both looking at me like you have no belief in this.
I feel like we should start this now and then give you time,
to prepare.
Oh, there'll be time. So basically what I'm thinking is that you can actually go online now. You can go to mix.com.au and go to the win page. And if you've got a really great recipe, entree, main or dessert that is foolproof that even I can't stuff up, I would love you to submit it. And then I'm going to, before the dinner party, I'd like to come out to your house so you can show me how to cook it.
Oh, very nice.
So it'll just be you and me, and if you can teach me how to cook your dish, and then I'll invite you to the dinner where I cook your meal for you and see if I stuffed it up.
Oh.
When I say time, I'm not talking days. I'm talking years.
I don't have that long. I'm relying on the listeners going, look, our Mix family will come through. They'll go, I've got a really super easy recipe that it would really impress at a dinner party. And if you're willing to teach me, if you'll let me come into your kitchen and if you'll teach me how to do it once, I will reward you with hopefully not food poisoning.
Well, hang on. You're a vegetarian. Is that an issue?
No. Look, I'm prepared to cook meat. The risk, I suppose, is that I don't know if it's ready or not. So that will rely on your cooking skills teaching me when meat is ready. But I cannot handle shellfish because I'm allergic.
Right. That's fair
enough. If it's got a shellfishy, I can't touch it.
Completely off the table.
Shellfish is off the table.
Right.
But I'm prepared to cook meat if you're prepared to risk eating it.
Are we going to be invited?
Yeah, you
We're
can
coming
come.
As well. Oh, please, somebody
I'm going to invite
steak.
The listeners who teach me how to cook and a couple of other people, and maybe there'll be a celebrity chef or something. We'll just try
a celebrity chef.
So we want you to go to mix.com.au,
yep.
Go to the win page and submit your awesome recipe. And if you're willing to have me come and cook it with you, then I'd love to have you for my dinner party.
Awesome. I love it.
Me too.
I love it.
Do you want a catchy name for it?
Yeah, go on.
It's called My Kimber Rules.
That's right, darling, but the lawyers are not happy. Pete,
Matt and Kimber. This morning, I would like to hear from people who have had people try to intervene into their marriage to make it not happen.
Oh.
Marriage interventions.
Okay.
All right. Now, here's the reason why. Have you heard of Princess Mako of Akishino?
No.
Right. Well, this is a Japanese princess who is about to marry a commoner later on this year.
Oh, God.
And because of her station, it's a naughty no-no.
Right.
Now, the government has offered her $1.7 million to not marry this commoner. Yeah.
Okay.
She's rejected it.
Wow.
So she's going to reject the money. She's going to move to the US where he is as well. And she's going to wed him. He's her university sweetheart. His name is Kai Komoru.
Okay.
They got together in 2017.
Yeah.
She announced the plans and she's the niece of Emperor Naruhito.
Okay.
And he's like, that's not happening. No. And to sweeten the deal, here's $1.7 million. She said, no, I love. You can have that back. Bang.
She's getting married to Kai. She'll get money somewhere.
Well, I was going to say, I wonder what, she's got in the bank now. Maybe that doesn't mean much to her.
Maybe. Mm. I don't know. But I mean, $1.7 million and you're not married yet and you're not there in the US yet.
And also, how many people actually believe in the one? Like, I reckon there's heaps of those. Like, the one, there's plenty of the one. Women could fall in love with a hat.
Really?
Yes. Once we're over you,
don't
we'll meet another
that.
One. Like, they can. We love love. It's all very sweet. But let's face it, you can totally find someone else.
Kimber, you know who loves love? Princess Mako.
That's right.
And don't you dare ruin that for her.
Bonnie, how you going?
Good, thank you.
That's good.
Bonnie, did someone intervene in your relationship and say, this is not going to happen?
It was actually my stepmom. So my stepmom and my dad have been married for quite some time. She flew away from, she used to live in Spain.
Uh-huh.
She flew away when she was 18. So about 20 years later, her dad rocked up on the doorstep. I came home to this strange man in my house, and he actually offered to say, if you leave my father, I'll put you in the will. Now, he's a millionaire. They have many properties. So I gave him the ultimatum that, yeah, if she left my father, he would put her in the will.
Right. Oh my
wow. How did that go down?
She declined, and we haven't seen him again. So that was happened probably 10 years ago.
Wow. So, sorry, Bonnie, like you, when you say strange man, so none of you had had anything to do with this bloke up until he just appeared out of nowhere.
I hadn't seen him. I'd never met him. She hasn't seen him since she left Spain when she was 18. Mm. And then, yeah, I came home one day to find this strange man at the table. I was like, who's that? And then my dad was like, oh, that's your stepmom's dad. And he came over just to say, hey, do you want to be in the will? If you do, you've got to leave my father.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
That's awful on so many levels,
isn't it? What do people think they're getting out of it by that point, too? You're like, you're quite entrenched in the family by then.
Yeah.
I know. My dad even said, look, if this is what you want to do, you can do that. But she was like, of course not. Don't be silly. So,
yeah,
I would have done it. Bonnie, here's what I would have done. I would have done it. I would have got the money. The moment it was in my bank account, I get back together with him, up and move the family to another country, and we are sitting sweet.
Oh, sounds like a good plan.
Well, yes, and would it be a legitimate, if you were asked that by a partner, would it be a legitimate response to go, darling, can I see my lawyer?
Hey, Bonnie, thanks for your call this morning, mate. Hey, we're going to send you off to the ballet.
Oh, awesome.
Enjoy.
You have to leave your partner, though.
How good was that Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast? There's heaps more available on the Listener app. And there's heaps more amazing deals on blinds, awnings and shutters available at the ABC Blind Spring Sale on now. 94.5.